We go now to nearby Syria, where some gruesome images and harrowing statistics have emerged in recent days. A video posted by militants with the terrorist group Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, display the hanging of their victims' heads on poles. In other videos posted on YouTube, there are scenes of crucifixions and other public executions that are allegedly also being carried out by ISIS fighters. According to a Syrian human rights group, 1,600 people have been killed in just 10 days this month. As fighting rages on, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad made a public appearance at a mosque in Damascus, where he attended prayers to mark the start of Eid. It was his first public appearance since being sworn in for a third term in office. Lara Satrakian is co-founder and executive editor of Syria Deeply and joins us now for an update. Lara, hello.
Todd, good to be with you.
Under terrible circumstances, I'm afraid, but it's good to have you too, Lara. It seems, before we get into some of the details, that perhaps some of the atrocities and ramp up in violence in Syria might owe to the fact that the world is quite distracted with bombardments in Gaza, with fighting in Iraq.
Absolutely, and not even for the reasons you'd think. The strategic focus away from Syria is giving rebel groups and ISIS the opportunity to accelerate the fight, to gain ground without much global attention. And what we're seeing right now is really a split of the Syrian war into what you could call the old Syrian war and the new Syrian war. They're distinct but intertwined catastrophes. There's the old Syrian war of what's left of the Free Syrian Army, assorted rebel moderate groups trying to fight the Assad regime pounding them back with aerial bombardments on civilian areas, an attempt to take back the city of Aleppo from rebel control, a resulting humanitarian disaster, the spread of polio, people starving. All of that is still happening. And then in parallel, you have this kind of new Syrian war with the rise of ISIS. In the past 2 weeks, they've consolidated control in eastern Syria. They've taken some very serious oil and energy installations. They're not really big by Middle Eastern standards, but one energy analyst told us that ISIS is now making up to $3 million a day from illicit oil and energy sales of the assets it's taken. The Assad regime, for the first time, really confronting ISIS and losing a lot of men along the way. Last Thursday and Friday, more than 700 people killed, believed to be the deadliest 48-hour period in Syria. So you've got this real range of fronts, Todd, and it's become a very, very, very tangled, complicated conflict that I don't think anyone in the global community feels like they can pull apart.
I described some of the horrible atrocities that are emerging, Lara Satrakian, in the intro there, and I don't really want to repeat all of them, but but horrific beheadings, terrible things that are on videos. Help me understand the strategy here on the part of ISIS. They're making gains in Syria. Clearly, they've made gains in Iraq and are transporting weapons across the border. Why such public displays of horror that may galvanize other countries or other forces against them? Why not sort of play it more quietly, take control, and operate in both Syria and Iraq?
Well, ISIS is increasingly confident that they're going to be able to hold the ground that they've taken. They started off strong in Syria, then they sort of surged ahead in Iraq, then they made these sweeping gains across Iraqi territory, most crucially in the city of Mosul. And now they've combined effectively the terrain that they've taken in Iraq and Syria over one single operating area. And when I mentioned in the past few weeks they've made gains in the east, that's because they are basically trying to connect their power centers, Mosul in Iraq and Raqqa in Syria. And by taking towns in the middle, sectors in the middle, like Deir ez-Zor province, Hasakeh, where they took over the Ba'ath Party headquarters and hung the black flag of ISIS, according to one report in the Wall Street Journal, they've effectively created the caliphate that they keep talking about. They've declared it semi-officially, if you got to take their word as a de facto truth on the ground. But what we've seen, Todd, is alongside those beheadings and crucifixions and all of those horrendous attempts to strike fear into people, which are working, by the way, we're also seeing this interesting local color on the ground. They're handing out small cash payments to try to win over people's support. They offer more moderate fighters a chance to actually join up in their own brigades so that they're fighting, joining extreme extremist groups simply because those groups are the ones with the guns and the money. We interviewed and actually profiled a female ISIS brigade in Raqqa, which isn't really so much a brigade. They call themselves a brigade, but they just kind of sit in their headquarters in Raqqa and police morality among the city's women. They keep women from going out in public too often, making sure they're covered up when they do. So ISIS is really establishing the tone and the nature of the state that they wish to see. And no one is really effectively stopping them.
You mentioned a situation that no one on the outside has been able to untangle, Lara Satrakian. The United States here and the UN appear completely handcuffed. We said Assad has to go. Now Assad is fighting ISIS that is disrupting our interests in Iraq.
The U.S. chose not to take a more active position on Syria. The U.N. was hamstrung from the start, and now all efforts seem really too little too late, most especially to the Syrians on the ground who cannot see any power, foreign or domestic, that can possibly bring peace to Syria in our lifetimes.
While the world is focused quite rightly on the bombardments in Gaza and Iraq, horrible atrocities are emerging in Syria. 1,600 people killed in just the span of 10 days this month in extraordinarily horrible conditions at the hands of ISIS. Our thanks to Lara Satrakian, co-founder and executive editor of Syria Deeply.